Happy birthday.
21. It feels great, man. I feel like an adult.
Joe Coyote, episode 21 of Diagnostics and Usage.
Cody Coates, how does it feel?
I feel old.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely feels great. And with perfect timing, because we had a big, huge, humongous week.
Yeah.
And for that reason, we are going to be foregoing all follow-up. Next week's going to be a busy show because we do have some follow-up and lots of non-Apple-related things to talk about. But this week is all dedicated to the WWDC 2015 keynote presentation, which...
Epicenter of Change.
Which was a pretty lengthy keynote.
I had to pee like halfway through, and it was rough.
The only indicator that I knew that it was going long is right before it started, John Gruber tweets, "Oh, I'm hearing from a birdie that this is going to go over 2 hours," and that was a bit.
I saw that.
Yeah, it was a bit shocking though, because he actually addressed this with Phil Schiller in the talk show. Generally, they try to keep it under two or at two, they went over, but we'll go over the reasons why. But I figured
I was told to stand twice.
I know. They did not reference that joke whatsoever. Let's start from the beginning. So it started off with a celebrity-filled intro. Bill Hader being the main celebrity, but they also got the gentleman who plays Abed in Community. Is that correct?
Yep.
Am I getting? I wish I knew his name off the top of my head. What did you think of that intro?
I thought it was good. It was just a fun, silly kind of video. I think it was a little over the top for WWDC.
I agree.
Like, last year there was Stephen Colbert. Did they have one the year before? I don't know. It seemed a little over the top for the developers conference and not really kind of focusing on the stuff. And honestly, I would have rather that just not been there and the keynote being that much shorter.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone, it got a pretty good praise, but I mean, and I'm a big Bill Hader fan, and it didn't hit it for me. Like, I wasn't laughing as much as others were, and it could have been left out, and it still would have been a great presentation. But it, you know, it's Apple showing their funny side.
Yeah. And then Tim Cook came out on stage.
Yeah, good old Tim. And he was quick. He was fast.
Yeah.
Like he's been in a lot of the past keynotes. He's been very just, you know, welcome and let's get on with the show. And no one is really minding, because sometimes the whole numbers talk was a little long and drawn out. But I don't know, maybe it's because we used to work in Apple retail. I'd like them to give us some updates from time to time, and there hasn't been one, and I can't even remember the last keynote that there was a significant retail update.
There's a call every quarter if you want to hear all the numbers.
I know. I mean, it's probably for the best. But when he introduced Craig Federighi, I mean, the crowd roared. Like, it was like he just introduced a rock star. And I mean, I could see why. Federighi has clearly become the best presenter out of the Apple team, at least that we've seen thus far since Jobs had passed away. But yeah, he was great, and we didn't see Phil Schiller. Eddie Q did call out that it was his birthday.
He did not like that.
Oh, he did not. He did not whatsoever.
He gave him the death stare.
I'm sure that in the many, many rehearsals that was not in there. So I'm sure Phil was taken a bit aback by that. But yeah, Federighi gets right down to business. And he announces good old fashioned OS El Cap.
Snow Semity.
What do you think about OS 10 El Capitan? The name.
The name? It's good. I mean, I do like the snow leopard-esque-ness of it being a part of Yosemite, but something distinct. I think it was a clever name. And I mean, there's not much. It's just a name, right? It's still 10.11. It's fine. Good job, Phil.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty it's a pretty good name. It's one of the it's like when they introduced Mavericks. It's like
hell is Mavericks?
Yeah, and they're like, why are they picking these weird names? But in reality, it stands out. Like,
yep.
if you start to hear people talking about El Capitan, for example, and you're not a California native, you know, and you're not familiar with, you know, the place in Yosemite, and your ears are going to perk up. You're going to be like, what are they talking about? So yeah, I thought the name was a good choice. The whole spiel of how they picked the name, you know, that worked last keynote. I don't know if it worked as well this keynote. You know, how he's talking about how the marketing team figures out how to name it. It was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the stuff, I mean, I'll say this up front, a lot of the stuff in this keynote, like a lot of the little jokes, for me, they didn't really go over well. Some were over the top, some were just a little too. I mean, I think Matthew Panzerino from TechCrunch, he was just like, oh, the dad jokes are they're cranked up to 10 this keynote.
Oh yeah.
It was one of those type of things. But if I had to prefer, you know, if I had the choice of, you know, cheesy jokes or like straight laced, like very serious Apple keynotes like they've had in the past, I guess I would prefer this over the past. So they threw up some slides, experience and performance. So they kind of laid down what they were going to go over. And to talk about the experience side, you know, they started off with a demo essentially. He started off with the big cursor shake feature, which, I mean, listen, I will be the first to admit, especially when I work with multiple monitors, sometimes I lose where that cursor is. So, you know, it's a nice welcome improvement.
I think it's good. And it kind of just shows the cleverness of Apple and like how much thought they put into this of how people actually use the devices. Because I remember this being on Windows, and I think it's like you hit the control key twice, and then like this, like you kind of throw a stone in water, little ripples come out from the mouse. I remember that being a feature in Windows when I was a Windows user that I had on. But this is so much more natural. Like if you just start moving the mouse, it gets bigger, because that's what you do when you open your laptop, you type in your password, and then you wiggle your mouse to try and find it. And they just took that motion that everyone naturally has and just made it do something. It's kind of like adding a gesture in that was already just a natural thing that people did. It was really, really clever.
And then I didn't think they were going to go and do these improvements, but they did like a spotlight search improvement. And it's interesting because it seems like they want spotlight search and Siri search to kind of Siri search on iOS to kind of almost be the same on each OS. And it seems like they're getting closer and closer to that. But the new Spotlight search has natural language input. So it can do, you know, things like Fantastical does as far as like creating calendar events. But what's even more impressive is it takes a lot of the work away when you want to narrow down your search. So in the Finder, in the current state that it is, you can go into the advanced search and give it these conditions and, you know, to try to narrow down what you want to find. But now you can just type in a simple phrase like, show me all of the music that I purchased last May, and it will actually bring that up, you know, near instant. And I thought that was really, really nice. I think that is going to that's going to go over well with not just nerds and, you know, prosumers, but I think everyone's going to benefit from that feature.
I wish they would have just amped it up a little more of letting you do actions as well. Like something that's in, you reviewed Alfred, and you know, in Alfred there's like screensaver or sleep or open this file or mm-hmm. like I wish there was a little more verbs in the natural language where you can do put the computer to sleep or just more than just search. But maybe it'll be around the corner.
Yeah. What's interesting, you mentioned that when I reviewed the OS X launchers for the Suite setup, there was a kind of a launcher plugin for Spotlight that wasn't out yet, but I just found out about it, and I wonder if you heard about it. It's called Flashlight. Have you heard about Flashlight for Spotlight?
Nope, not at all.
I'll put it in the show notes, and I definitely want you to check it out. It's these plugins for Spotlight, and it's really, really nice and really, really powerful. I've yet to try it out myself, but I know many people who have been using it since it's been out of the beta, and it definitely does some of the stuff that's in El Capitan, but it will take it a little further, like with the stuff that you'd like, system level commands. Another thing that they introduced that's been around since, man, probably Windows Vista days is Windows snapping and split view. What'd you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, I think it was just trying them doing feature parity with the iPad version of this. It's fine, I guess. I think it's a little more flexible way of using full screen, because I like the experience that full screen apps have, except that they take up my entire screen. Like, I don't like having to manage the window aspect of the apps, and having them full screen is nice. And I think this kind of accomplishes that, but also opens up to use a few more things. I don't know. I mean, they said experience refinement, and I think that's really what these things are. I mean, like, they also, in Safari, there's pin tabs, right? It's like, that's been around in all the other browsers for how long? It was just a lot of catch-up work on these little features that I think they were just kind of bringing everything up to speed that they couldn't do in the past couple of releases, because they've been, you know, refreshing the UI and things like that.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because this is, you know, very well a similar release to a Snow Leopard, but Apple did not take the marketing approach that it did when it introduced Snow Leopard. So it's funny, or at least it's funny to me, that when they're talking about these little refinements and features, they're kind of presenting it as like a very big tentpole feature. Like, they spent a lot of time on notes, which is like, you know, in any other major release, they wouldn't spend that much time on like a notes application. So I found it interesting overall that that they decided not to give in to the whole, rumors as Gurman, reported how it's just going to be optimization and stability, and that they kind of showed these things as they were, pretty major features for the release. I mean, all of these are welcome features. The other thing that was really nice was like the full screen mail. Like, they adapted, they adopted the iPad functionality where you're in a message and you can kind of bring it down if you
right.
want to, grab an attachment or something like that, or do something else in mail. So I thought that was really nice. Did you find it interesting that it was on one of the word clouds, but did you find it interesting that when they introduced El Capitan and iOS 9 that they did not mention the system font change?
It's not a thing. Like, I think they're going to do it and it's there, but most people aren't going to be able to tell the difference between Helvetica and San Francisco. Like, I think us as nerds, we care, but really I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think people will see it and they're like, something's different. Okay. And move on. Like we noticed when they changed, didn't they change like the green tint from in iOS 7 to iOS 8 for messages? Like,
they did. Yeah.
Normal people don't notice that, but we notice it. Right. And that's why they didn't give it the time. One thing I follow up on you saying the marketing kind of changed on releasing, releases for OS 10. And I think iOS is that they're kind of, when they started doing the annual release cycle, everyone was kind of thinking like, how are they going to sustain this? How are they going to keep pushing it out year after year after year? And I think it's with them not giving the same kind of marketing that they did for Snow Leopard. I think it's them saying, hey, we'll give you something every year. Maybe it's really big. Maybe it's not. But we'll give you something every year. And it's almost like a TikTok fashion, and I think it's good. The other big thing is Metal is now on the Mac, which was kind of not surprising for it to come, but I think what was surprising for me was that Apple didn't just bring it over to the Mac, but then rewrote all of their stuff to use it because they saw how great of a performance increase it gave. And like moving core animation and all that onto Metal, I was impressed that they did that. I wonder how long it has taken them to do that. I don't know if they did it in this past year or if they've been working like years on it, but I think that's so cool that crazy amounts of performance are going to come from this. And I'm also super excited about games. I saw Blizzard up there. Hearthstone's going to be so much faster now. And I was... do you know about the new game that's...
No, I don't.
Okay. I forget what it's called. Overwatch?
I do know. Yeah. Know that. That looks amazing.
So it looks super cool, right? And I thought I was... when I've been, you know, watching it, and I'm like, man, that's probably going to run crappy on my computer. Like, even... WoW, I have to run like on low settings. And I saw that Blizzard was up on the list for Metal, and I was like, yes, maybe Max will like finally have really good performance and I won't have to turn all my settings to super low, even though I have like a $1,500 machine and play games on low graphics. And I think Metal is finally going to do that.
Moving on from El Capitan, they went to iOS, and iOS 9, surprised me, as far as the amount of features that were announced, because like we mentioned in past shows, it was, you know, listen, Gurman got a lot of scoops, but most of the scoops were like, they really want to tighten the screws on this release, and they announced a ton of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think. He, you know, Gurman got most of the stuff that they did do, but they really did add so much more that the iPad stuff is just amazing. But we'll get to that in a second. The first thing they did was the proactive feature, and swiping over where Spotlight used to be.
Swipe to the right search is back. I mean, that's funny because they... just got rid of that in iOS 7, and they're already bringing it back two generations later. I mean, it makes sense why they would do that, but from whoever I'm hearing on the first beta, you still can swipe down to Spotlight wherever you are within the OS. You can do both. But the proactive stuff, you know, one demo was really, it was almost a copy of the Google I/O demo of Google Now on Tap, where instead of them referring to the particular thing, they used a generality. And I believe the example they used in the Apple keynote was like, you know, remind me about this later. And it saw that there was like a Safari thing open. So that's really interesting. I don't think it's going to be at the level of Google Now on Top. And as far as like how, you know, how advanced will it, or how contextual will it be? But they're on the right track. That's for sure. And,
you know, like I was saying last week about like, I didn't think Apple would be able to do this to the magnitude that Google can, because they don't have the same amount of data. But the fact that Apple is doing something, and it is pretty cool, I think it like satiates my desire for Google services that Apple is doing something, even though it's not, you know, tit for tat, but it's still pretty cool.
Another thing that was very close to the Google I/O keynote, when in the Google I/O keynote, they were talking about how they're incorporating like Chrome tabs within like an app or something. And that seems very similar to the app deep linking that they're doing in iOS 9.
So in iOS, when you're programming, you used to use a like UI WebKit view or something. I forget exactly what it's called, but you used like a web view in there. But now they have this new class. I think it's not NS, it's something, but essentially it is Chrome tabs, but with Safari, and you get the save passwords and all of that stuff. But the app deep linking is what Facebook's been doing for a couple years. And then Google just started doing it, and now Apple's getting on board of being able to search in Spotlight and it search the apps inside.
And Apple was very particular on how Siri is doing a lot of these things, like knowing when you go for a jog so that it can bring up the, you know, the music app and things like that. And it's doing most of that learning on device. Anything that has to go out to their servers, they stressed that it is anonymous. But I found it interesting that they were able to have that sophisticated amount of code on the phone that could learn your habits versus running it on the server side, which would be obviously a lot easier, but would contradict what Tim Cook was talking about a mere week or two ago, you know, when he was kind of knocking on Google for the amount of stuff that they access on a customer. So I thought that was really cool.
I think that was one of the coolest features. When he said that about plugging your headphones and music pops on, I just thought, man, every morning I plug my headphones in and then I have a podcast going. And then later when I get into work and I plug my headphones in, it's music that I want. And just those little things I think will be so cool with iOS 9. That's that. And one other thing we'll get to in a minute is like why I kind of want to hop on the beta.
Yeah. Yeah, so next up was a pretty big thing for Apple. So Federighi introduced Jennifer Bailey, and she is one of the VPs of Apple Pay. And she went over a lot of the new stuff for Apple Pay. One thing...
She was a little awkward, huh?
You know what?
A little cold.
I think she was a little nervous. I think that if they gave her a little more... little more stage time in a future keynote, she would do better. I mean, you got to remember, I remember Federighi's first time on stage.
I wanted to say that.
Shaking like a leaf, man. Shaking like a leaf.
In the mail demo this time, when he went to do the gesture, I was like, Federighi, I hope you got your gestures down. Don't mess it up like you tried to do with Lion.
Also, now that I'm just remembering, they didn't really do any Air Force One jokes.
Thank God.
I think that joke is dead.
Q's shirt later on was enough of a joke.
Yes, Apple Pay is getting loyalty cards, which I'm so happy because I mentioned last episode that I do not want to take out my Duane Reade / Walgreens loyalty card, and that was one of the loyalty cards that they're adding, so I'm super psyched about that. And then they're also adding store credit cards, which I wasn't aware you couldn't add this, but I guess you can't. So stuff like, you know, if you have a Kohl's card or a Sears card, that stuff could be added to... I want to say Passbook, but that is dead and gone. It is now called
Wallet,
which I find a little funny.
Not Apple Wallet, just Wallet.
I find a little funny because Android went from Google Wallet to Android Pay, and now Apple Pay is a part of Wallet. So, I mean, not to bring us to a totally different subject, but I did want to link in the show notes. David Pierce from Wired had a phenomenal article that I believe hit this morning about how, you know, Google, iOS, Microsoft, that they're all kind of now at a point where they're very similar to each other, and they're no one's really... you know, kind of diverging from the plan, and how the technology space for mobile is going to kind of step together for the next coming years. So it's very interesting. I'll add that.
Where are the show notes, Joe Coyote?
That's a great question, Cody Coates. If you wanted to get to our show notes, first off, if you're in any modern podcast app, you could probably get to them there. But if you wanted to get to them on the internet, diagnosticsandusage.com/21. So moving on, maps. What did you think of maps? Because I was a little more impressed than I thought I was going to be.
It's what I expect of Apple. This was what I think Apple wanted to do all along, and then it took time for them to get it done and get it done well. And I mean, we both lived in New York City for years. How many just shitty subway apps are there?
So many.
Like, they're very easy to make. Like, making a subway map thing, that's super easy to do, but it's also really easy to mess it up. And I think they did it well. Like, the entrance thing, that's great. They win. Like, good job. Yeah,
that was my favorite feature, that the fact that they will show you how big the station is. Because if any of you listeners have been to New York City, it may be called the 34th Street Station, but that station may span like five blocks. So this is a great feature because it shows you the outline of the station, and it'll actually give you directions to a specific entrance of that station. But one thing that really was interesting, so when this launches, it's going to be in 10 U.S. cities, but they're basically mapping all of China, like, on launch. And that really goes to show you that, you know, they really, really know that the Chinese market is basically going to eventually outnumber the U.S. market. So 10 U.S. cities versus the entire country of China. I thought that was very interesting and very thought-provoking.
The real test of maps will be here. You know how you do that thing where when you're going to take the train and you think, okay, well, I know I have to transfer at 14th Street and I have to get on the A train. So that means I need to be at this end of the train so that when I get off, I'm right by that staircase so that I can run up and go and transfer really quickly. I wonder if they have it down to that. That would be the true test. If they know which entrance to go in to get on what part of the train to get on the right transfer or to get out of the right exit at your destination.
That'd be interesting. There's an app right now called Exit Strategy on iOS that does very similar things. It'll tell you what car to be in so that, yes, you know where to get out of. But I mean, like,
buy them up, Apple.
Yeah, they bought HopStop, and it took them a good two and a half years to incorporate them into the OS. So I think Apple is going to be nonstop. And one thing to note that happened after the keynote is that they acknowledged their cars that are going around the United States. So they did not talk about it. It doesn't appear that any of the data from those cars will be in iOS 9 on launch, at least. But apple.com/vehicles or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting that they acknowledged that ahead of time. I'm wondering if they will be putting more on the road and they just kind of want to, you know, how many times are you going to see someone take a picture of one of those and put them on Mac? Like, Mac Rumors had a map. Mac Rumors had a map of the U.S. Like, where did you spot the car?
So another woman got up on stage, and, you know, honestly, I think she gets MVP, Susan Prescott.
Well, I don't know if she was less nervous or just a little more well-prepared, or maybe she's just a natural as far as...
I think she was still nervous, but I think she was more of a natural.
Yeah, she introduced the news app. They are, you know, kind of doing a little bit of instant articles, a little bit of Flipboard. They're kind of adding their own little mojo in there.
RSS.
And it's really interesting. It looks nice. I think it's going to replace a lot of people's news readers, and it gets rid of Newsstand, which kicks, if you update to iOS 9 beta, it kicks all your newsstands out into a folder and just leaves them there.
Because that's all it was anyways.
Yeah, seriously.
This app is definitely great. I am super excited about this. I've talked about it a couple times about Zeit, which is what I use for news, and it's going away. It was bought by Flipboard, so it's on the it's going to be shut down probably soon, and I wake up every morning thinking that I'm not gonna be able to use it and it's just gonna return nothing. And then they announced this and I was like, man, this is what I want. Like, this is exactly what I'm looking for. It's nice, clean, simple. The only thing I need is an iPad, I think. Because, man, it looked really nice on the iPad. I mean, I know it's going to be on the iPhone, but it looked really nice on the iPad.
I also, when they announced it, I also signed up my blog to be on it. It was a very simple sign-up process. You know, you fill out some basic information, you give it a PNG logo, and you give it an RSS feed. But for like bigger publications, they are going, at least in the setup, it looked like they are going to allow them to break things out in sections. So, you know, a lot of these big sites like The Verge, they have multiple RSS feeds for different categories. So you'll be able to, you know, do that. I think this is a force to be reckoned with. I think that it didn't get as much, you know, spotlight in the keynote, but I think it's going to, I think it's going to make it play, you know, people like Flipboard and other news sites, news apps, a little scared.
Well, so my thing about it is what I really like, and the thing I'm also really interested to see in how they did this is that different from Flipboard or an RSS reader is that you can get a lot of different kind of news media in here. You can get JoeKiady.info or Daring Fireball, which are blogs. You can get, you know, Gizmodo. You can also have the New York Times, like newspapers, The Economist, or you can just have magazines like Vogue or, I don't know, Fisherman's Monthly or something. But that's all in one app, and it's all in this one place. So I love that all of that information, I don't have to hop between three different apps in Newsstand and then hop over to Zeit to get stuff and then hop over to wherever. Now it's all in this one place. So, but it'll be interesting to see how they manage that. And they kind of say, oh, well, this is, you're in a blog, or if it's just this one big long stream. Thing I don't want is having to like hop in between each thing. Like, oh, well, now I'm going to look at JoeKiady.info, and then I have to scroll through that, and then I have to go back, and I have to look at this and go back. So I hope they kind of have like a streamlined view, but we'll see.
Speaking of not having to hop in and out of things, that brings us to
Mr. Segway.
One of the biggest announcements for iOS, and that was on the iPad side with their Slide Over and Split View, which are two separate things. So Slide Over is going to be the feature that's available on most iPads, and that, you know, pretty much every
even on iPad, your iPad, Joe,
even on my iPad Air original one, because what it's really doing is when you slide over that app, it's pausing the other app in the background. There's really no simultaneous communication.
It's like Notification Center on the Mac.
Exactly, but you can, you know, bring messages up or Twitter feed or, you know, something interesting like that.
Well, what I like is when a notification comes in and you tap on that, it comes in as slide over instead of switching apps, which is so cool.
Exactly. I'm sure they'll have toggles for people who prefer the other way. But more important than slide over, the split view feature, which there was remnants of code back in iOS 8. This is finally ready to roll, but to many people's surprise, it's going to be on the iPad Air 2 only, and I'm obviously, you know, an iPad Pro possibly in the future. I understand why it seems like this is one of the most RAM, you know, intensive types of things, and that's why the iPad Air 2 got a bump in RAM. But it's disappointing because now I was thinking about keeping my Air 1 for another year, but this may sway me otherwise.
So I think that this is how they get people like me who still have an iPad 2 to finally update their damn iPad. Because this is the feature that everyone's been wanting. It really opens up the iPad to a whole new kind of functionality, especially with the picture-in-picture video that they have, where you can just have video playing and move it around, move it off the screen, and just let it continue to play, move in between apps. Like, that's super cool, and that's a game changer for how you can use the iPad. And when they say, okay, this is really cool, isn't it? Well, you have to have an iPad Air 2 or buy this new iPad. It works. Like, I think I'm going to be getting a new iPad when this comes out, or when I won't get the iPad Air 2. I'll wait until they announce something new, but it really gives an incentive to switch. And when Federighi was demoing the kind of the new keyboard, where now it's kind of like a trackpad, essentially, if you put two fingers down, you can move the cursor, which is not a mouse, but it's like a text cursor, which is kind of weird. You can move that, your two fingers on the keyboard, and it acts like a cursor. And boy, he did a demo of like changing something, like replacing something and then making it into a list. And it was lightning fast.
Yeah. And I was nervous for him because it did
so
not,
was I.
it looked a little finicky, but I mean, he nailed every single one, but I was like, uh-oh, is this gonna accidentally type something? Is this gonna accidentally do something different? But yeah, the trackpad feature is definitely a game changer, especially for people who do a lot of email or writing on the iPad. But they also cater to people who like to connect a Bluetooth keyboard, where they have some more shortcuts, which is really nice. Like you mentioned, the picture-in-picture video is really, really cool. And what was not mentioned in the keynote and what I read on Six Colors was that that also includes FaceTime picture-in-picture, which... Like, really, I've been waiting for that for a very long time, where you have to get out of it, and then all they see is your paused face, and you don't know what face you were making when you hit the home button. So they could be looking at a weird, you know, a weird freeze frame of you. So picture-in-picture is going to be nice, and that's going to also be on older iPads. It's really just that split-view technology that's going to be isolated to the Air 2. But, I mean, this brings the iPad back to life. This is huge.
Yeah, I mean, it took a long time for us to get here, but, and I, you know, when the Surface came out, and then there was Android, Samsung tablets, and they always railed on iPad for this, of, oh, you can only have one thing, or look, picture in picture, or, you know, like all of these things. And I'm just like, good job, Apple. I knew you had it in you. I knew you were going to do this, and you did it right, because it looked so beautiful. It looked so simple to use, and it brought new life to the iPad, and it looked like just the moving of like tiles, like the picture-in-picture video around, all I could like think of, I was like, wow, this looks like, you know, in sci-fi or the superhero movies, they walk up to like a big panel of glass on the wall and they're like moving stuff around. I was like, that's what that is. we are getting closer to Iron Man's laboratory. I was really impressed with the iPad stuff.
What's really interesting is if the 12.9-inch rumored Pro comes out, this opens up so many more doors. I mean, you may be able to have three apps running simultaneously on something of that size and power. So I'm very, very curious to see what's going to happen to the iPad once it does grow and get bigger physically, size-wise. But moving on, the Notes app for iOS was, it was an overhaul. Listen, they did a lot of work. It's not just rich text. You now have, you kind of have to-do checklists within there. You have, you know, you can scribble, and you can do different formatting.
Inline pictures.
Yeah, I mean, this was huge.
Links to websites that are like nice, pretty little cards instead of just copying and pasting a link, like, this was great. It's making me want to use Notes app again. I mean, I recently just started using Vesper.
Yeah, that's what I use.
But it was 2 days ago. I was like, man, I kind of want to just like scribble something down. Like, I want to draw something really quickly. And I was like, where the hell do I put that? Like, I don't want to get a piece of paper out because I want to keep this. But I also, I don't really have an app, and I don't want to download a new app. And honestly, my favorite thing about this Notes app, besides just it being... now it's actually can be a tool instead of just kind of like stickies, is that it doesn't come with all of the bloat that I feel all the other note-taking apps come with. Like, you don't have to sign up with an account like Evernote. True. It doesn't worry about like, oh, let me get all these files from Dropbox and what about here and here. Like, it's very simple. It's a Notes app, and that's what it does, and it does it really nicely, and they just added a bunch of functionality and made it so much more useful.
So we got to move this podcast along, but some quick things, you know, they figured out to squeeze an extra hour of battery life out, and then they have this new low power mode, which gives you an extra 3 hours of usage. And then another space saving technique is when you do eventually update to this over the air, instead of it being over 4 gigs like iOS 8 was, they've packaged this down to 1.3 gigs, which was huge for 16-gigabyte iPhone users.
One thing, we didn't get to see the UI for the extra power mode.
Yes, and Phil Schiller mentioned that in the talk show, how they had to cut that out. If you are interested, I did get to see a couple of screenshots on 9 to 5 Mac. It's very, very interesting. One more tidbit, like when you're in the Settings app now, they have a search field up top. So now you can go into your Settings app.
That's good.
Tap the search box, hit, I don't know, guided access.
Hit diagnostics and usage.
Exactly. So before we move on, the question for you is, will you be joining the public beta in July?
I have a developer account, so I'll just use that.
Okay. I'm going to forego it on my iPhone, but I will be putting the public beta of iOS 9 on my iPad, and I look forward to speaking about that on the show. So to touch on something quickly before we move on to Watch OS, for developers, this may have been one of the, you know, the biggest surprises, and that is that Swift 2.0, which is, you know, Apple's programming language, is going open source completely. There were aspects of it that were open source, but now the entire programming language is open source. And I am not a developer or coder, but Cody, you are. What'd you think about this?
I think it's great. I mean, I have played around with Swift over the past year, building stuff, and it's a fun language. It's nice, it's clean. It's missing a lot still. I don't really think it's found its voice necessarily. Like, there's still a few kind of weird semantic things that they haven't figured out, but one of the great things about Swift is they always took feedback. So I remember, like, 1.0 came out, and I don't even remember what it was specifically. Gosh, why can't I remember this? So they had some really weird semantic thing that just didn't make sense, and everyone complained about it. And then 1.1 came out, and they completely switched it and went with all of the suggestions from the community. And those kind of improvements is exactly what they're going to get with open source. And also, they said, hey, we want Swift to be the language of the future, where you can write you can write a Mac app, you can write an iPhone app, you can run it on Linux, you can run it on PC. As a web developer, I find it kind of crazy that at some point in the future, I could write an iOS app in Swift, then write the backend on Linux in Swift, and maybe if a web framework comes out, write that in Swift. It sounds really cool, and the only way they're going to get that is with open source.
So Watch OS 2.0. I love how they are calling it a 2.0, like 6 weeks into the launch. I know it's not going to.
What else are they going to call it?
I know. They're going to call it 1.5. They
don't do that.
But Kevin Lynch comes out on stage, he announces a lot of nice features. And I want to know your take, since you are a watch user. So let's start, with the first one: third party complications.
I think they're nifty. I don't have a BMW, so
you're not going to be able to see your charge levels.
I won't be able to see if my car's charged. Or I guess it was Volkswagen. Sorry, but I don't have a car either way, so that's not going to be very useful. I live in an apartment, so I don't have a Nest thermostat, so I'm not going to be able to see that.
You do have a nightstand. Please tell me you do have a nightstand.
Yeah, but that's not a third party complication.
I know.
I think it's cool. I'm more excited to see what developers come up with and what things I can do, because I think some of the watch faces, there's one that just has a ton of complications, and I'm like, man, I don't have anything to put there. Or even on the simple ones, I'm like, I only have a couple. There aren't really any complications that stick out to me. I mean, right now, I just have the activity ring and the date. That's it. I wish there was more. As far as the nightstand mode, I'm excited about it. I think I haven't trusted my watch enough to let it wake me up in the morning, because I'm so used to my phone waking me up.
Yeah.
But I'll probably try it out. I think it was really cool. It was a clever idea. I feel sorry for all the people who made stands already.
I know.
But I think it was cool.
There was a question I asked you when you were initially reviewing the watch, and I asked you if I was in your friend circle, and I was a little hurt because you broke the news that I wasn't. But I feel like now you have no excuse, because more friend circles are coming to the Apple Watch.
I said this? Let me... Oh, yeah, I guess I don't have you on my friends list.
No, you had a valid excuse. It's because, you know, it gives you a limited amount, and, you know, generally you want to pick people who have Apple Watches.
Joe, I'm adding you right now. I'm adding you right now.
Oh, wow.
I only have two people in there. I have, like, my mom and my best friend back home. That's it.
Fantastic. I feel honored. And Joe, you're going to be at...
Seattle.
You're going to be able to add... First of all, the listeners don't know that you pronounce my name incorrectly on purpose. Don't let them that's my correct pronunciation. Ciati.
Coyote.
Yeah. So More Friend Circles is huge. So many people complained about that. Because it's like, you know, after you filled it up and then you met somebody and you're like, oh, let's, you know, draw some doodle, or you couldn't do it. It sucked. And then I love that this was a big tentpole feature. Reply to email.
God, that's terrible. No one wants to do that.
I mean, it didn't hurt to edit. I felt like it shouldn't have hurt them to edit it originally in watchOS 1.0. I mean, if someone wants to dictate an email through there, I mean, by all means. I mean, I would never dictate a work email through my Apple Watch, maybe with my personal email to somebody who...
Well, see, in general, that's my thing. I don't like saying what I'm typing out loud. I don't want people to hear what I'm texting or emailing. So that feature kind of just blew over me. I was like, oh, whatever.
See, I'm kind of used to doing that now. It's a little embarrassing, but I'm kind of used to walking down the city streets and being like, saying a sentence, saying the punctuation. And, you know, I mean,
yeah, I don't do that.
And then finally, I mean, we knew about this from the Recode conference with Jeff Williams, but native apps right now, you know, aside from moving the current, you know, functionality from the phone to the watch, they do have a lot more access to different sensors. The heart rate, they have access to the microphone, which is really nice, and a couple other things. So that's going to be it's just going to be refreshing for the apps to launch faster, because
that's all I care about is just when I open an app, I want the damn thing to open instead of what I live in now of like, wonder if this is going to open. Oh, this is the flaky app. Not even going to try. Or let's, you know, roll the dice. Or, hey, I'm going to set my phone right next to it. Why isn't this working?
So I want to tackle our last subject. And I want to tackle it in a very particular order. So Apple Music was the last thing to be announced. And I kind of want to go over the features and the pricing ahead first. And then we can talk about the presentation, or if you would call it that. So Apple Music, from what I could gather, is three things. It's a streaming music service. I mean, let's stop with the Apple revolutionary. Let's just get down to the facts here. It's a streaming music service like Spotify, like Beats Music. I mean, it's essentially going to be Beats Music. It's a radio station. Now, my question for you, Cody, so the Beats One radio station, that's still separate from like iTunes Radio, correct? Have you?
As far as I know.
Okay.
I know. I'm holding my tongue.
I know you're
holding. You said
time.
We have to explain before we can talk.
And then the third thing is what they call Connect, which is, you know,
already another product.
A social network type thing where artists can post stuff, they can, you know, they can import things from other social networks, you know, interesting. And it also does, even though iTunes Match is a separate service, it also will do take care of iTunes Match type of stuff. So it'll upload any music that it can't match to the cloud. So that is the features. The pricing, very simple, $9.99 for a single person, just like every other music service out there. The killer steal is the family pack, six people. $14.99. So that is out of the way. And I'm going to first hit you with this question. Did you think this deserved a one more thing?
Man, if they had done it well, yes. The way they did it, nope.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, when Tim said one more thing for the first time when they introduced the Apple Watch in September, I will not lie, I had a tear in my eye. I mean, it was a momentous occasion, and it was like a real ode to Jobs, especially since it was a new product category.
And it was Apple and Tim coming to their own. Like, this was their own product. This was new Apple. This was this generation's Apple's one more thing. And I say generation, but that's not the right word. But it's...
I hear you.
This generation of the Apple as a company.
So Tim throws a one more thing. They play a video and they introduce Apple Music. And then he throws it directly to Jimmy Iovine. And Jimmy Iovine... there were points in his presentation where I said, like, he's killing it. Like, he's on a roll with what he's saying. And then you have moments.
And then he made the unforgivable moment where he missed the three things in one joke.
I mean, literally, I mean, I watch the original iPhone keynote almost on like a bi-monthly basis. Like, I literally watch that keynote as if it's a religion. And when you've joined the company, you got to know at least that a revolutionary mobile device, a widescreen iPod with touch controls, and a breakthrough internet communication device. I mean, if he doesn't know that, then I mean, now he does for sure.
Oh, because yeah,
he thought, he looked back, and I believe he thought that maybe the slide didn't progress, because that was the other thing.
It was so awkward.
The other presenters had their own clickers. They threw him on the stage. They're like, we're not giving you a slide clicker. We don't trust you. So yeah, he got that wrong, and then he started kind of babbling, and it was kind of a little long and drawn out. He went a little over. And then he throws it to Eddie, which Eddie he has a pretty good track record when it comes to presenting. And then they throw on that Cuban salsa, and man, did he just get lost in the music.
Man, well, everything was lost in Apple Music. Jimmy had a hard time up there. I'm glad to see him on stage, but it was really awkward. It didn't seem like this thing was planned out. And I mean, we do have to make the separation here between presentation and the actual product.
Correct.
But it's really hard to, because there are still so many questions about Apple Music and how the damn thing works. And they had so much time on stage. And with all that time, it seems like they really didn't say anything about this product. They don't have the story of the product, of what it is. I mean, it's a service, but it's also a social network, but it's also this other thing, and it's a radio station and this other, and it wasn't cohesive, and it didn't feel thought out. And I think they really missed an opportunity to launch this product. It was, or service, or whatever it is, or app. Maybe it's just the new app on your phone. Like, we still don't know what, or we never got a sense of what it is.
Mm-hmm. And then they brought in the man who started from the bottom, and now he's here, Mr. Drake.
How do you first remember Drake?
I know him as the artist, but I later did find out about his acting career.
I was going to say, because I knew him as the kid who got shot and was in a wheelchair.
in
Degrassi.
Degrassi. What was that, Disney, Nickelodeon, BBC? What was that?
It was on Noggin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're taking us back here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He gets out on stage, and he really went off the rails. Like, he did not look at a prompter. It appears that he just decided.
Or memorized a speech.
No, I don't even know. Like, I feel like he said, I'm just going to wing it. So he gets out there, and God knows what he's talking about. He was there apparently to talk about Kinect, but it turned into this. Like, the other thing is like, he was really trying to be like Jobsian. I felt like he was on stage thinking like, I'm at an Apple keynote, so I'm going to now do my best Jobs impression. So he was trying to be like very kind of, you know, taking pauses between his sentences. It just didn't work.
I mean, I sent you a message during it, and I was like, I'm so uncomfortable right now. It was I couldn't, it was like a train wreck. I couldn't look away and I couldn't take my headphones out, but I just didn't want to see or hear this happening. other funny side note, you know, he said he was like, I didn't think anyone from wherever in Canada he's from would ever become a superstar, or anyone from Canada. Does he not know about Celine Dion?
Come on. Seriously. My heart and Justin will go Bieber.
On. Yeah.
Like, seriously. But I mean, back to another announcement that we left off on the features and stuff like that is they're making an Android app, and I think that was partly A, because there was an existing Beats Music Android app. That was one part, but B, I think it was also them just saying like, this thing is going to take Spotify head on, and they are going for blood.
And oh yeah,
like and Spotify right now is sitting pretty. I just read something that they have 20 million paid subscribers right now, and that is a really amazing.
Every single one of them is going to get a free 3-month trial with Apple Music.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very curious to see what the numbers are when iOS 10 releases in a year's time, because I think that it will be, I don't know if it'll be drastically different, but I think Apple will move the needle on subscriber base, and they're bound to take away some of Spotify's subscribers.
So as a service, what do you think of this thing?
So
as a music subscription service.
I don't know. It's tough. I spend my commuting listening to podcasts. So I do not listen to a lot of music. And since I do spend my commute listening to podcasts, I cannot justify the $10 cost. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she listens to a lot of music. So I think regardless...
Split it.
Yeah, regardless, we're going to give this a try. What do I think about the Beats One Radio? Very interesting. They're going to have a radio station out of New York, London, and California. It's going to be 24 hours. It's going to be human curated. I think that's really compelling. I think that people, you know, who knows? They may be able to do like talk radio eventually. Like that kind of their options are pretty endless when it comes to that. But when it comes down to it, it's just a stream. It's just a streaming service. Like it's just a streaming service baked in the OS. The radio thing, I could take it or leave it. The Kinect thing really remained... Well, you know what? It needs to prove itself. And it has a better chance because unlike Ping, it now is on mobile. So it has a chance to really shine. But I can't say I'm really excited for it. I'm excited to try it out on June 30th. That's for sure.
I mean... I just don't want it taking up a tab in my music app. I think that's the thing that I don't like is that there's 5 tabs: For You, New, Radio, Connect, and My Music. When I want to listen to music, I care about one of those.
Yeah. No,
I don't care about Connect. I don't really care about some radio station. New, fine, but can I just go to the iTunes store if I'm like, oh, I want to buy some new music, let me go to mm-hmm. iTunes. Or For You, again, that should just be in iTunes when I open up iTunes and I click music and it's like, hey, here's some suggestions, which I think they already have. And I don't really know how sold I am on bringing all of that functionality into the music app. And now my music is kind of just tucked away in this corner.
Well, what's great is we don't have to wait that long. This, unlike iOS 9, this is happening at the end of June, so
yeah.
We'll be able to talk about this on the show in a couple weeks' time. But we are going a little longer than we usually do, so what do you think about calling it a show?
I think that's good.
Great. Well, where can people find the show notes once again, Cody?
diagnosticsandusage.com/21.
And if they wanted to find you on Twitter...
At CP Coates. What about you?
I am at Joe Caiati, CAIATI. I write at joecaiati.info. And we will talk to you all very soon. We hope you have a great week. And Cody, you have a great night.
Bye. So you got the yellow dot. Is that all right?
What does that mean?
Oh, my friend circle. You're there now. You got the yellow dot.
Oh,